Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Football's glorious, isn't it? Glorious? Did you say it's glorious? No? Fantastically glorious?
I'd say sweating out an over is one of the greatest feelings in the world. And when it hit, it's that release. It just made you feel
like the season was back.
I felt alive again.
It's been weird. Like, I mean, I've been screaming ball. I walked down the street and just screamed ball. Okay? And I told you the story. I talked with one of my friends, David Chamberlain, like 3 months ago, 2 months ago. And he goes, "How you doing?" I go, I'm fine. Well, you know, what's good? He goes, "I know that, you know, you're obviously in the sports industry talking about sports every day. We don't have a whole lot of sports. You're doing all right." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." He goes, "I'm hanging in there as well, but if there's no football, I don't know what's going to happen." Now, obviously, there are more important things in life than sports, but sports are also an important part of the fabric of what we enjoy, right? So, like, even last night, I told you guys yesterday that I'm ready, but it just feels weird. Training camp was weird. There was no preseason games. Maybe we learned last night that preseason games aren't really that important. At least to, you know, a very polished, great team like Kansas City. But I didn't really, it felt different. Didn't it feel different for you guys? That, I mean, like, the start of this season was glorious, but it felt different. But when you get late in that game, and I did not have a play on the game other than I had Kansas City plus 101. Thanks to DraftKings. Just the adrenaline had to kick back in as you're waiting for the Chiefs to try to knock it into the end zone to get over the 54 total. Right, Abdallah? I mean, wasn't that what you were thinking?
Yeah, I just, once the game kicked off and you're watching Mahomes and you're watching Watson and you're watching the Chiefs defense, you're just watching football again. Like, to me, there's no, like, yeah, we're all making fun of Andy Reid's face shield. And yeah, there's like the coaches are force of habit is holding up the play sheet in front of their face, even though they have a mask on.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, but they're playing. Like, they're playing. They figured it out. They threw a bunch of money at the problem and they figured it out. And that's, I love it. I love watching football.
And then you get the bonus of sweating out and over at the very end.
Yeah, listen, it pays the line shop. If you got it on FanDuel, promo code Abdallah, it was at 52.5. And, you know, you made yourself a little extra.
Well done. Well done, Adam. Well done. I think Chris and I both benefited from the the odds boost from DraftKings.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we'll spend the good portion of the day previewing Bears and Lions. But what... Your first impression watching that game last night, I had three thoughts. I wrote these down. Chiefs are just a machine. Like, if they weren't explosive enough, then the rookie running back from LSU comes in. Edwards, how do I pronounce his name?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Yeah.
Helaire?
Yeah.
Helaire.
It's like an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, they're a problem.
They are a problem.
What the NBA Twitter goes, they are a problem.
The second thing was, as expected, the Texans offense is in trouble. They're lost without DeAndre Hopkins. Couldn't understand what Bill O'Brien was doing at times last night. And the last thing that kind of stayed with me last night after watching the glorious start of the NFL season 2020 was I feel bad for Mitch. Like, it's meme city. Anytime, like, I'm guilty because I think I was the one that screamed a while ago, this is the son of a Mitch Bowl. But, like, I'm beyond that now because this is, like, version three. This is the third time the son of a Mitch Bowl has come up. And something always happens. Like, this time, Mahomes is having himself a game, is sitting on the bench, and then Deshaun Watson runs out of bounds, sits next to him, puts his arm around him. It was a great moment. It was also a moment for everyone on Twitter to then have fun at Mitch's expense. And I'm just at this point, and I know you're going to look at me and say, well, Waddle, you've made jokes as well. I feel He didn't choose to be drafted second overall in 2017. Okay? I just felt bad.
He could also play better.
That's true, and I'm not going to deny that. I'm just telling you, as a human being, last night, when Deshaun Watson sat down on the bench, I first thought went through my mind was, oh boy, this isn't going to go well for Mitch on Twitter. So those were my thoughts. Again, as expected, the Kansas City Chiefs are a machine. And the game was, again, we could talk about whether or not we think that preseason is important, preseason games. I'm a believer in preseason games. I'd have never had an NFL career without them. Other teams aren't as high-powered and good as the Chiefs, and they could use some preseason games. But they were explosive. The Texans, I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday. No DeAndre Hopkins was going to be a problem, and again, I felt a little bad for Mitch. What did you come away with last night?
You know, Waddle, I agree with the build-up to the season has been a little strange, weird. A little weird, and different. Obviously so. You went through the different things that we've not really seen in this lead-up to the start of the season without preseason, without the training camps at locations, or the access that the media, the fans have had in the past. I agree with you with all of that. But I think the one thing that I kind of thought of watching the game last night was the moment we get past that moment, it'll just be football.
Yeah.
And like now we have a full card of games to look forward to on Sunday, and the Bears play on Sunday. And what will take place is, yeah, what we watched over the course of the summer leading up to this season was weird. But I think once the games actually get going and the flow of a football season starts to take place, which we all know and love, I think it will be much as we're used to. And like when I'm watching a game, last night, it did not bother me at all that stadium was not full.
Yeah,
I don't think it will bother me at all watching the Red Zone on Sunday to see stadiums with no fans.
We did get used to it, haven't we? We got used to it with the NBA playoffs. I mean, we got used to it watching Major League Baseball. That wasn't an issue for me.
The only problem for me is going to be the virtual fans. That's stupid.
And we're going to be the only, like, Bears and Lions are going to be the only game that has them this week,
again,
right?
I'm not going to, like, the fact that on Sunday, there are 9 noon kicks. Oh. There's great 3.
That's a 9-team teaser there.
It is. There's a great slate of 3:30 games.
Chasers. Those chasers after your 19 teasers in the dumpster
on
fire.
Sunday Night Football.
And then, you'll start chasing it at the 3 o'clock
games. Two Monday nighters.
And two Monday night games. Ooh. The last thing, and you can hold my feet to the fire on Monday, too, because I will not put this in my good, bad, dirty. I will say, I will not complain about virtual fans because I don't care.
Yeah.
Already know it's dumb.
Yeah, we already know it's dumb. So I'm not going to complain about it because there's so much football to be watched.
I'm with you too, Chris. I think that's a good point that it was weird last night, but now we've popped the cork on this bottle of champagne, and now it's time to drink it.
Yeah, and let's figure out who the good teams are, and let's figure out who the bad teams are and bet against them, and let's see what the Bears can do, because I think that's where, if we lead up to noon on Sunday, I'm looking forward to most. Has Mitch improved? Has this offense improved? Can they score points? Is this defense as good as we think it is? Will they be able to kind of put the Lions where they're supposed to be within the division hierarchy? This is all stuff that I'm looking forward to. And Matt Nagy, including him in the conversation offensively, has he adjusted? Will they run the ball more? Is Montgomery going to play? There's a whole bunch of different things that I'm kind of amped for, and now I'm past the worried part of this of, like, what will it look like? Can they actually accomplish it? Like, football's here. Let's, like, get into the football aspect, and I love it.
Not even an ounce of sympathy for Mitch last night?
No, I mean, you know why? Because, like, I'm over it. Like I get
too,
it.
But
people get their jokes off on Twitter, but outside of that, what's the point? Yeah. Like, I get
it. Is that
it.
Ever going to go away, you think?
Probably not. No. Ask Sam Bowie what's up, right? Like,
hey, Sam Bowie, what's up?
Right? Like,
you got his number, I'm
calling.
Wouldn't
that be great if he just walked in?
Yeah,
he's like,
Sam
Never got over it. Till this day.
I think it's only going to affect us, like me personally, it only is going to affect me when they're playing each other, obviously, because you get to watch both of them at the same time. And then when Mahomes is hoisting another trophy this year, if they win another championship.
And that defense is...
Yeah. But it's
not
just
their
offense.
That's a good team,
top to bottom,
obviously.
And be like, look at what Mahomes did. Look at what Watson did. And compare
them
to... We're beyond that at this point.
I just wondered whether or not there was an ounce of sympathy in you guys... You're pretty callous duo in there. Whether or not there's any sympathy, like when you started to see the memes flood the internet.
Well, I get it. I mean, everyone feels bad for little Mitchie, and he
I don't feel bad.
He's got to play better this year. And there's MVP Mitch. You know what? The Bears are going to go 16-0. I've heard all that crap before. Like, listen. It's a new year.
Okay.
New year, Waddle. He needs to perform.
Listen, I've got a little more human to me than you. It's fine. It's good.
Hey, you show me. I'll give you a good cry every once in a while. But listen,
not on this topic.
Not because Watson sat down next to the Mahomes.
I'm just saying. I mean, I cry more. Never mind. Abdallah, what else was what crossed your mind watching that game last night?
Well, the Chiefs' defense is going to be a problem. Not that they finally got that figured out, but I feel like they have a lot of young studs. You mentioned Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's a great young player. Like, the fact that they picked him up in the first round, it was like, oh, yeah, we'll just add one of the best running backs in college football to our roster, and how he performed, you know, in his debut. Just the fact that, well, I'll ask you guys, I'll answer your question with a question. Did the way that the Texans struggled to move the ball early in the game before the game was out of hand because they scored late, but it was out of hand at that point. Does that change your outlook at all to what the Bears defense can do to them? And is that now a winnable game?
I've always thought it's a winnable game. To me,
that was one of those swing games where it was like, if you convince me that in the Tampa game based on the schedule, I was like, you could convince me that they could beat the Bucs and that they could beat the Texans.
Listen, when we were giving our predictions who we were going to be in the postseason this year, yesterday, like, I waffled on the Texans before I actually chose them as a wild card team. I think the loss of DeAndre Hopkins is going to be huge. Like, last year, Deshaun Watson was running for his life quite a bit. Like, he doesn't have that security blanket as one of the top receivers in the NFL and DeAndre Hopkins out there anymore. But I'm with you. I think the Chiefs' defense is nothing to kind of dismiss. I think we drool over what the Chiefs have inside their offensive huddle, and we ignore some of the things that they have in their defensive huddle. But, yeah, I've always thought that the Bears-Texans game isn't going to be a lopsided runaway victory for the Texans, for sure.
Yeah, I don't change my opinion on the Texans, just because I think the other way to look at it is we all agree that Kansas City is the best team in football.
Yes.
So, like, now,
by the way, they didn't look like they didn't look like this was the first game of the season on an often abbreviated training camp, did they?
They look like they played the Super Bowl last week.
Yeah.
Now, Abdallah, to answer your question, if they look like that against Miami, yeah, I'll be concerned.
Yeah.
Or,
that's a good
point.
Like,
or Cincinnati, you know what I mean? Like I would like to see more of a sample size from the Texans before I start to get concerned.
Amen. We're going to spend a lot of today talking ball. Bears and Lions kick off week one. So Jeff Dickerson will join us at 3 o'clock. We'll give you our thoughts on what the Bears face in Detroit. Also, Doug Kazarian joins us. He'll give you the plays of the weekend. He'll join us at 4:15. We're going to walk around the entire week one schedule at 5 o'clock, and we're gonna give you a preview of every game that's going to be played and our thoughts. Mark Giangreco at 5:30 as well, and Jesse Rogers will join us here in about 15 minutes to preview a little bit of baseball conversation. But your thoughts, what you saw last night, what you expect this weekend in Detroit. It's a Football Friday. It's ESPN 1000. Time to get your fantasy football draft in order. Planning on drafting from home this year? Well, Twin Peaks has the perfect package for you. Order a 2020 draft kit to take to the house party. It's everything your league needs to really score. Featuring draft packs available for takeout or delivery that include 96 wings for the league, draft premier primer sheets, rather, board and player stickers, $50 bonus card for the commissioner, $5 bonus card for every league player. That's a $5 bonus card for every league player. Visit their fantasy football home hub for more information. TwinPeaksRestaurant.com/fantasy draft. Twin Peaks, each drink, scenic views.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Week one of the NFL season officially underway. Kansas City puts it on the Houston Texans. 34-20 was your final last night. Full slate of games this weekend, including our Bears visiting Detroit. I believe the line for that game is now down to Bears getting 2.5. Bears plus 2.5.
Depends on where you're doing your shopping.
Ooh, what do you see? What do you see? I think that that's, you know.
I see 3 in places. I see 2.5 in places.
I got it at 3.
I suggest people shop.
Shop? You benefited from shopping last night.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Look, there's a lot of apps out there.
There's a lot of apps. There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of things taking place before Sunday at noon. You got to find your number.
Shop. You guys already, have you started working on your 10-team teaser?
19.
Oh, yeah.
We have different philosophies when it comes to teasers.
Well, that's not going to work well if you're trying to agree together.
We bet them both.
Okay. Yeah. So Chris doesn't like to cross...
Pollinate?
No, he doesn't like to cross time zones. Or not time zones, time windows.
So you don't like to have a teaser that's got games at noon and games at 3.
Yeah, I want it, and this is why.
I'm reckless, I don't care.
I want it, I want to know my answer all at the same time. I don't want to have to sweat a game that's going to take place a day later because it's the Monday nighter when 8 of the 9 hit in the noon kicks, and I have to sit on it for a day. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to have to sweat. In a different window. I'll just make a different bet for that.
I had the Chiefs in one yesterday, so that was working. Now I got to wait till Sunday for the other one.
Okay, I'm writing this down because I want to make a T-shirt out of this because I thought it was one of the best things I've heard in quite some time. I'm reckless. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm reckless. I don't care.
And don't sweat the window.
don't.
Before we get out of here, I got to know what you guys are gambling on. Will you have your plays made, or I'm going to have to wait until Sunday?
For the teaser, that'll be Sunday.
Yeah,
we'll Sunday, let you know.
Yeah. Because it depends
on
movement.
But we'll give you plays today.
Depends on movement.
All right. That's good. Hey, Abdallah, if people want to watch us on Twitch, how do they do that?
You go to Twitch, and you go to twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. You can download the Twitch app.
Yeah.
You can search ESPN1000Chicago, interact with people. I should probably turn the screen back on.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Why don't you do that?
So people can look at your beautiful face and get that promo code for DraftKings as they are our lovely partner for our Twitch broadcast. Use that promo code if you want to. You should. I mean, why wouldn't you?
I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, I put $50
down. They're arguing about gambling in the chat right now.
What do they got?
They're comparing bad beats now in the chat, which is great.
Last night wasn't a bad beat.
No, it was. If you had the over at 54.5,
okay,
it was a bad beat because they were on the 2-yard line and couldn't get in.
Is that really a bad beat? I look at the bad beat when something really odd happens that you aren't expecting.
I guess that really doesn't qualify as a bad beat per se. Because
you know, I said to you, I could have envisioned a scenario where Andy Reid and the Chiefs just sat on the ball, turned it over on downs, and would have left the Texans at the 1-yard line or 2-yard line with 30 seconds to go, and they're just going to kneel on it as well.
They decided
to kick the field goal. There are some teams I think would have done what I just described.
Here's a bad beat. Bender in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN1000, put $100 down on the Chiefs to win between 7 and 12 at plus 420. And guess how many they won by?
They won by 14.
Yeah.
I was trying to give you guys a little bit of advice yesterday as we were leaving the air. I had the Chiefs winning this game 31-21. So I had them covering.
Yeah.
I'm not usually good at picking games and spreads, so I felt very good about that. I didn't play the game, though, other than my DraftKings odds boost, where I bet $50 and got $95 back because I had the Chiefs plus 101.
Which crashed the site because everybody wanted to see their 54.
I went to bed last night, don't you think at like 11:15 I kept hitting. I said, all right, where's it? Show up.
It wouldn't even let me log in.
It was
messed up.
Yes, me too. I also...
But guess what? This morning, it was there.
It was there. It was. I had an anger bet against the Reds and bet the Cubs, and that one came through as well. So...
There you go.
Tyler's in Avondale, and he has some thoughts on what he saw last night. Tyler, what's up?
Hey, guys. First and foremost, I was going to talk about the Chiefs, but now you guys talking about bets. That was the easiest, $300 I could have ever bet on FanDuel and DraftKings last night with that quick plus 101.
Yeah.
So thanks for the heads up on that one.
No problem. That's what we're here for, to make you money.
And then also, I mean, you got to admit, every single team last night watching that game had to have been sitting there kind of crapping their pants saying, this team is unstoppable if they have a run game now. And that running back, Clyde, he's an upgrade over their starting running back who opted out. Have you ever seen a team opt out with a player and the team actually ends up getting better? I mean, I'm a diehard Bears fan here, but I honestly don't know how anyone is going to stop this team this year.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for the call, Tyler. Look, I would bet my I'd bet a good bit of money that the Chiefs are not going to go. They're not going to go undefeated this season. But I would suggest to you that there was nothing I saw last night that would lead me to believe that they aren't the favorite to win it again this season. And I think Abdallah mentioned their defense, which at times is a little porous last year, but Chris Jones is healthy. He's re-signed. He feels good. Frank Clark is also very dangerous coming off the edge. You have a Pro Bowler in the secondary. I mean, this team is definitely the team to beat. There's no question about it. 312-332-3776, your thoughts on what you saw last night. Also, what are you expecting in Detroit on Sunday? Big Bears-Lions game for everybody. Mark's in South Elgin. Mark, welcome.
What's going on, guys?
Hey,
yesterday, I've been watching a lot of the Bears 2019 over the last week.
You so have,
ready for Detroit. Yeah, right. And I was listening or watching some of the games, man. I said, like, I can't believe how many times that we relied on Eddie Pinheiro to kick field goals. And I really, really hope on Detroit that Trubisky gets better, or he has gotten better at red zone. Because in the red zone last year, we just, you know, we're going three and out. And then just having Eddie Pinheiro come out there kicking field goals, Mitch Trubisky could have easily taken the ball, ran it in, or done something a little bit more creative, you know. But so I really hope he fixed that, and hope to see more in the red zone that he's going out and just being creative and attacking and scoring a touchdown versus these field goals. So that's all I wanted to
say. No, it's fair, Mark. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. Look, this is not a field goal kicking league at this point. This is a touchdown scoring league. You're not going to beat many teams if you're settling for field goals in the red zone. And it's obviously a problem that this team has struggled with over the last at least year and a half, for sure.
Well, the one thing that I would add to that concern, though, Tom, is if you don't have a good quarterback, like, how do you win football games in this league? You play great defense, you run the football, and you there's two other items that I think play into this. It's you have to have a good field goal kicker, and you have to have a head coach who can manipulate the game and make good decisions throughout the game, either to get you more possessions at the end of a half or being able to use your timeouts to your advantage with the challenges and not burning those throughout the game and the flow of the game. And, like, you have to be smart there. So like, how do you overcome a bad quarterback? And I think last year what we saw was that we had the good defense, but the head coach didn't run the football, so there's a minus. We didn't have a good kicking game. There's another minus. And the head coach makes decisions at times, either with timeouts or challenges or just his philosophy, that are questionable, thus leading to what we've seen.
There's no doubt. I mean, I said to people last year, I was probably more disappointed in Matt than I was Mitch, because I expected more from Matt than I did from Mitch. But when you have a team that is offensively limited, when you do get in the red zone, you cannot squander those opportunities. You may not find yourself in the red zone as much as other more explosive teams will find themselves in the red zone. But once you get there, you have to make sure that you're scoring touchdowns and you're not kicking field goals. That's a huge part of what the Bears, I think, will make or break them this year. Jason's in Plainfield. Jason, what's up?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good.
Great, great, man. First off, Sylvie Strong, man, we're definitely praying for you. But, man, I'm expecting great things from the Bears, man. We look pretty good last year. I expect them to hopefully fix this offensive. I know we only have the one new offensive line player, but I'm hoping for big things. That's the main thing. And I do, you hit it right on the head. I expect much better play calling from Nagy. You know, he shows that he has what it takes. You know, he's got the modern-day coach approach. I expect him to use it. You know, don't limit Mitch. You know, if Mitch can't handle it, that's why we brought Foles here. So, but I expect much better play caller.
Yeah, I agree, Jason. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. Look, again, I think that the 2020 season is going to be a challenge for Matt Nagy as much as it is for his quarterback. Can Matt do some things better this year than he did last year? I think you will see them dedicate themselves to running the football. They may even overemphasize it on Sunday in Detroit because it was such a problem last year. So I won't be surprised if David Montgomery not only plays in that game but gets a ton of carries. When we come back, we'll talk to Jesse Rogers as he'll preview the Cubs game that is coming up, Cubs and Brewers. start a big series. But before that, Gary's in River Grove. We'll take his call. He's got something on his mind that, wow, I'll just say that. When we come back, Gary will say something that will probably wow everybody, and we'll talk with Jesse Rogers next. Like just about everything this year, we'll need to call a few audibles when it comes to the 2020 football season. But one thing's for certain, your Jewel Osco is the go-to spot for game day and beyond. Whether you're gearing up for a backyard barbecue or cheering them on in the garage, Jewel Osco has everything you need for a top-tier party, including taco dip, locally made sausage, craft brews, chicken wings, and other great things. Kick off the season with big-time savings and selection, all fresh to your family from Jewel Osco.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
NFL season is here. Bears and Lions kick off in Detroit on Sunday. We got before we go to Gary and then to Jesse Rogers, there is some football news coming out of the Lions camp. Is there not, Adam Abdallah?
That is correct. As we veteran newsman Adam Abdallah will tell you that Kenny Galladay, wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, is, I'm just getting the release here, officially doubtful for Sunday. Doubtful.
That hurts the cause if you're a Lions fan. If you're a big chesty Lions fan, that one stings a touch, doesn't it?
I would say the judging by the, and we'll talk to Doug Kazarian at 4:15, but the national perspective is going with the Lions this week.
I heard Carmen DeFalco picked the Lions as well by one.
He's a hater.
He's not a hater.
I think Jeff Meller and Danny Zerman both picked the Lions on Cap and Jay Hood this morning as
really?
Well.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Haters.
Yeah.
Haters. Just haterate up and down the...
I don't like
and
it.
You would think, right. You'd think that Chris and I would be on that, but you'll have to wait and find out.
That's right. Gary's in River Grove, and he's got an interesting thought. Gary, what's up, buddy?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I was thinking, watching the game last night, I was watching a bunch of wide receiver drop balls, a really bad offensive line, and it reminded me of Mitch's rookie season. And this guy seems like he can't do anything without Hopkins. And if that's supposed to be a $100 million quarterback, I think the Bears lucked out.
So you wouldn't want to have Deshaun Watson?
I mean, if you put them in the same situation, I'm not saying that I wouldn't take him if it was 1 and 2. I mean, personally, I'm a Mitch hater myself. I would have taken Jamal Adams that draft. I threw my hat across the room because of it. But I'm not sold on either of these guys, and I wouldn't pay either one of them.
What hat was it? What hat were you wearing?
I was wearing a autographed Jay Cutler hat at the time.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Yeah, did someone else pick that off?
Wow. Abdallah with jokes in there, quarterback jokes. All right, Gary, listen, I mean, we'll take everybody's opinion. I'm not going to agree with it. I don't think that Deshaun Watson is on the same level as Mitchell Trubisky. I think we've seen that in his 3+ years now in the National Football League. He's a better quarterback. And do we really need to go any further than that? No? I mean, does anyone like to kind of bolster what Gary had to say? Maybe giggle at it? No? Oh, okay. Why don't we talk to Jesse Rogers?
Jesse has football
thoughts?
Are you kidding me? You put that guy on instead of me? Get out of here with that.
Well, okay, give me your football thoughts, Jesse.
Okay, here are my football thoughts. First of all, the Chiefs, I don't even think, played their best last night, and they won easily. That's number one. Number two, Watson is 10 times better than Trubisky will ever be. You know I was a Watson guy from the beginning. And I was listening to the show yesterday, Tommy, and I threw my hat when you reiterated why maybe the Bears and other teams may have passed up on Watson. Little smaller frame, had the ACL. Are you kidding me? The guy just won a national championship. His college coach basically staked his reputation on Watson.
Said he was the
Watson.
Michael Jordan of football.
Yeah. Staked his reputation on Watson. And look, this isn't life or death. Come on, Ryan Pace. Roll the dice.
Okay,
If that's the thing that kept you from taking Watson, oh, his frame isn't big?
Well, listen, Jess, I'm not, like, my excuse. I'm just telling you that if, of the other teams, there were some teams that were scared. I wasn't scared of that.
That's not you don't go into it scared. You roll the dice with a guy like that. You know what? If it doesn't work out, fine. But you roll the dice on a guy that started 12 games at North Carolina?
Yeah.
Come on. Jesse was
clearly watching boring baseball until 12:30 last night.
Rain delay.
So I got to watch some football before the baseball last night.
So what did you make? Obviously, the Cubs' bats came alive a little bit last night. They take the third game of this series, so they get 2 of 3 from the Reds. The Reds stink, like you and I both agree now. Where is this Cubs team at as they head to Milwaukee for a big three-game series with the Brewers?
I mean, they're still searching a bit, but look, they're not the Reds. Let's thank God for that, right? I mean, they are a good team trying to search to that elite status before they get to October. You're trying to find that elite status, I should say, before they get to October. Theo Epstein talked before the game. You know, every so often he'll do a little press conference, and it felt like a press conference that he could have done a year ago, or he did do a year ago, or 2 years ago, or maybe even 3 years ago. And it's just this idea that the offense still can't find its stride. It goes back to that old hockey saying, at least for this season, your stars have to be your stars. And we haven't seen that just yet. Luckily, Nico Hoerner changed the game yesterday with a bases loaded double, and he had a great game, went home from second on an infield hit. You are getting production from the lower half of that lineup, but can that take you deep into October? And most people don't believe it can, because Horner's ceiling certainly isn't as high as Bryant, Rizzo, and Bias, for example. And by the way, Wilson Contreras, great night, 4 for 4. He's coming around.
He's starting to heat up. What did you make Bryant? I believe this is a second straight game with multiple hits, isn't it, as well?
That might be right, because he sat out the night before after getting hit. So I think he had a couple. So, yeah, I do think Chris is coming around a little bit more, but we're not seeing the power out of him just yet. So let's see if that trend continues, at least getting on base more. Let's start with that. He needs to get on base more. Rizzo has slumped a bit here, but that right-handed swing by Contreras is so sweet. Joe Maddon used to talk about it, that left-center gap kind of swing that he has. You saw it last night, 4 for 4, like I said, on base 5 times. But those other guys still need to get things going. It was just so interesting to hear Theo talk about it. And real quick, Tom, we mentioned the Reds, the Cubs, the Indians. Those are three of the worst offenses in baseball, right? Throw the Indians in there. It's so different than what it used to be. Those three teams see the most pitches at the plate per plate appearance. The most. Cubs are 1, the Indians are 2, the Reds are 3. All three offenses are stuck in neutral. It's so weird. It's this idea that maybe you can be too patient. And I never thought I'd say that, but sometimes the Cubs seem to be a little too patient. That's why when Nico Hoerner took that ball with the bases loaded, they have a 191 average with the bases loaded, and he took it out to left center. That was such a nice thing to see, because they haven't done enough of that, Tommy. So still searching, but they're still in first place.
Yeah, Ian Happ coming back to earth a little bit here. I think he had, 10 strikeouts in the last 3 games?
Yeah, you could tell, you know, that he just couldn't get himself out of rut. Like, maybe in a normal season, he could use a day off right now, and I don't know if he's going to get one, with the season condensed, but they're going to make the playoffs. So maybe he needs one, maybe not. He did hit a couple balls hard the last couple nights that turned into outs, but the strikeouts are alarming, because that sort of harkens back to when he was struggling a couple years ago. But, yeah, back down to earth a little bit, maybe not that unexpected.
This is a series where you can basically squash the Brewers, right? I mean, I know that this isn't the end of the season, but we're nearing the end of the regular season. If you beat the Brewers 3 straight here, don't you pretty much put them out of their own misery?
Yeah, you do, and they still have, listen to this, 10 games against the Cardinals before the end of the year. All 10 of their season series yet to be played against St. Louis. So Milwaukee's in desperation time against in-division teams like the Cubs and the Cardinals, the two teams ahead of them. Milwaukee's 19-22. They seem scrappy. I've said this before. You know, September they go on that run. They haven't yet. They're just short. And the thing is, the Cubs are short, and the Cardinals are a little short, but the Cubs just seem to at least be able to put it all enough together to remain in first place. So you're right, they could stomp out the Brewers, but the Brewers are probably thinking about second place more than first, and they have 10 games against the Cardinals coming up.
John Lester takes an ERA nearing 6 to Milwaukee tonight. What are you expecting from him, not just tonight, Jess, but going forward?
Okay, I'm going to go out on that limb. I am expecting better starting with tonight. He usually trends in one direction and then bottoms out and starts to trend in the other direction. I think tonight is a perfect matchup for him to trend in the other direction. This is not a powerful lineup. I think he's searching for answers like that offense, but I think he starts to find them tonight. I really do believe that. You could play this next week one way or another, right or wrong. I think you're going to see a better John Lester down the stretch, and he'll probably still end up being that third starter in the playoffs.
Anything else we need to know about this Cubs team heading into the weekend? Before we completely ignore them and focus on the NFL?
Right, right. Well, come Sunday, it'll be a couple TVs going on in the Rogers house.
Okay.
Chatwin and Quintana, let's not forget about them. If either of those two come back, that could be a huge boost. Now, it's a roll of the dice right now. Theo said yesterday, any setback for either one, Quintana with a lat injury, and Chatwin with an elbow, either way, and they're done. But if you get one out of two, that could be a nice little boost, whether it be in the bullpen or in the rotation. Actually, their bullpen is pitching better, Tommy. I don't know if you noticed. Kimbrel is better. And Jeremy Jeffress, what a pickup. He's been pitching much better than I thought he would have. And scouts told me when they picked him up, watch out. And he's been great. So add a Quintana or Chatwood, just a little bit in the mix, could really help. They certainly need to find another starter. I'm not sure either one would be the answer in October right now, though.
All right. We can't let you go until we get your esteemed football thoughts on the Bears and Lions.
I think it's going to be a classic Bears and Lions. Like, one team's going to squeak it out, and I do think it'll be the Bears that squeak it out.
Squeak it out.
It's going to be close. I have a low-scoring affair, 20-17 Bears.
20-17, okay.
So more Bears points or Cubs runs this weekend?
It's a great question. Yeah, put that down.
That's what you were trying to do. You were just trying to get a great question out of me.
Yeah,
there's no way the Cubs are going to score more than 20 right. runs.
Right, it's a better question when the Cubs have a good offense. You know what I mean?
You still said it.
Yeah. I did say it. But, I mean, in general, it's a good question because you do have to wonder about that Cub offense these days. Yeah. Last night they got to Sonny Gray and went on from there. Maybe that's the start of something.
All right, get the hell out of here, Jess. Have a great weekend, my friend.
You too, Tom.
All right, be well, buddy. Jesse Rogers covering the Cubs and other football items for us as well. Hey, we need three callers, right, Adam? We need callers 9, 18, and 27, 312-332-3776. And we're going to give you a game. Remember, this is the Waddle and Sylvie quarterback carousel contest. Be callers 9, 18, and 27. We'll give you a game. And if Nick Foles is named the starter for that game, you'll win big prizes. I'll tell you what those prizes are when we come back. This hour is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is a perfect tool for Sylvie and you for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with discount code Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Before we get to our three callers who actually will be competing in our very dirty-feeling quarterback carousel contest, I have in my hand the injury report for Bears and Lions. And there's some good and some bad. Robert Quinn did not practice today. Ankle injury. He is listed as doubtful for the game on Sunday. Khalil Mack had limited participation, and everybody else was full participation. Mack's listed as questionable. So are some other guys, but they will all play. For the Lions, their starting right tackle, I believe, is out. And Kenny Galladay, one of their fantastic receivers, is doubtful with a hamstring. So do with that what you will when it comes to your wagering this weekend. But I would say that those are at least two big names. Lions starting right tackle out. Galladay doubtful. Probably will play some. I don't know. Maybe play a little. Hamstrings are very difficult to play with, especially for a wide receiver. And I don't expect, do you guys expect to see Robert Quinn on the field on Sunday?
No.
I do not either.
I don't.
So.
And then also cornerback Jeff Okuda, the first-round draft pick from the Lions.
He's questionable as well. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think you're going to see a rotation of a lot of guys. I find it hard to believe that everyone can be in football shape. It looked like a pretty clean game last night. It looked like the Kansas City Chiefs didn't skip a beat. I thought the Texans were a little sloppy in certain areas, but I thought both teams handled the situation quite well. We'll see whether or not the Bears or the Lions struggle without having any preseason games. All right, let's get to these callers. Again, it's the Waddle and Sylvie quarterback carousel contest. If Nick Foles is named the starter in the game that we assigned to you, that you get out of that giant cup in there, then you will win a $100 gift card to Jersey Mike's and a $50 gift card to Bub City. So some good prizes for you. Eric's in Hanover Park. Eric, how are you, buddy?
Happy Football Friday, boys.
Same
doing
to
well,
you.
How are you?
What, do you have a personal prediction as to when there may be a quarterback change?
I hope I'm wrong. I'm thinking it's going to be week three, but I just want to win some freaking games either way.
Amen to that, Eric. Paint him a picture in there, Adam.
All right, let me get my oil paints. Let me get the canvas ready. All right, let me paint you a picture, Eric. So, they beat the Lions, cruising, moving along. Beat New York, cruising, moving along. Beat Atlanta, cruising, moving along. Lose to the Colts. Lose to the Bucks at home. Lose to Carolina on the road. And you're like, what's going on?
Teddy Bridgewater
is going
on.
And then you head to the Rams like you did last year, and there's some Trubisky tears. There's some egos have been hurt. Some lines have been crossed. And what happens? Ryan Pace says, well, I'm not facing the Saints again. I'm not getting that butt whooped again by the Saints with Trubisky. So week eight against the New Orleans Saints at home, in front of the faithful. In front of the faithful, because it'll be a Fox game, so there'll be virtual fans.
Maybe there will be fans in the stands by week eight, huh?
Week eight is any when chance? Nick Foles will start for the beloved
Couple?
Chicago Bears.
Handful. All right, Eric, you got week eight, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys. Go Bears.
You got it. Go Bears. Any chance there may be a few people in the stands?
No? Probably not.
No?
Probably not.
It's cold anyway.
Okay. Lenny's in Elk Grove. Lenny.
Hello. Hello, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Do you have a personal prediction as to when or if there will be a quarterback change?
I hope there isn't one, but you already gave away week seven, and I think that's probably about when it would happen, that primetime game against Los Angeles.
All right.
Let's hope we get past it.
Lenny is a clear thinker. I like him. Adam, paint him a picture.
All right. I got the canvas ready for you. All right. Like I said earlier, Detroit. Money. New York, money. Hotlanta, money. Struggle with the Colts, you lose that one, but that's okay. You know, you struggle with the Bucks, but that's okay. You come out with a winner. Winner against the Bucks. But then,
oh, you get a winner against the Bucks.
Winner against the Bucks. We'll say a winner against the Bucks. But then you head to Carolina, and something is up with Trubisky. Something's up. I don't know what happened in the 10 days he was off. Maybe he lost a step or two. I don't know what happened, but they lose that game. Tears against the Rams again. Tears.
Why are they crying?
Because he cried.
What do you mean again? He didn't cry last year.
He cried. Watch the tape.
Year.
He cried. And then guess what? A repeat of the Saints. Repeat of the Saints game from last year. Can't move the ball until the end in garbage time when it doesn't matter. Then you head to Tennessee. That team made the playoffs and went far last year.
They went to the AFC title game, didn't they?
They run it down your throat and they can't score again. So then Minnesota, you're like, all right, Minnesota, we got this. Minnesota Vikings got this. Another loss. Now you're at the bye. You got 2 weeks to get ready
for
the Green Bay Packers.
Dude, takes his time painting, doesn't he?
It does.
Paint's dry.
You've got 2 weeks to get ready. Listen, Bob Ross's show was an hour last time I checked.
That's true.
It was a half hour. Whatever it is. Doesn't matter. So you've got 2 weeks to get Nick Foles ready for week 12 against the Green Bay Packers.
All right. All that way, Lenny. You got week 12. Yeah.
All right.
Sorry about that. Sorry to put you through all that. Have a great weekend, Lenny.
Thank you.
All right. Quinn's in Grays Lake. Quinn, how are you?
What's up, Tommy? Happy Friday.
Same to you. Thank you very much. We'll pass that along to Sylvie. Do you have a personal prediction as to when there may be a quarterback change, if at all?
You know, I don't think there will be.
Whoa!
I think Mitch pulls it out.
So
Maserati Mitch is back.
All right, let me paint you a picture. All right, let me get you ready here. All right, we don't have much time here. I only have 57 seconds here, according to the clock that Chris Black paid. So you like Trubisky?
Said clock, right?
No,
on?
I said no.
Love him.
You love Trubisky. Do you have a Trubisky jersey?
No, I do not.
You should probably buy one because he starts all 16
games.
Yeah, baby.
Let's go. There he is, Quinn.
Masterpiece.
There, Quinn, you got what you asked for, didn't you? Be careful.
I love you guys.
Oh, we love you, too. Have a great weekend. Be careful what you ask for when it comes to the quarterback derby.
So to do a production meeting on the air, we had Jeff Dickerson scheduled next at 3 o'clock. Matt Nagy has taken his damn sweet time to talk to the media and has yet to talk to the media. And Jeff Dickerson, as our intrepid Bears reporter, must be on that call.
He has to be.
So we cannot talk to Jeff Dickerson until then.
Let's talk to each other.
We will talk to each other. Right. I just didn't want you to go in there and be like, we'll talk to JD next. But because we're not. But we will at some point.
That's fine by me. When we come back, we're talking football. It's a football Friday. That's all that counts on ESPN 1000. Back in 2 minutes.